This is Tim and Liz.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And we are now able to welcome our guest officially into the studio. It is Hannah from Aerial Collective. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Aerial Collective is all to do with planes, classic
yes.
planes, and you give people the opportunity to experience what it's like to... We were saying you have a ride in one?
So we have two-seat Spitfires, who we call Charlie and Indy, and we also have two P-51 Mustangs, which are owned by two of our clients who have kindly let us offer flights in Mustangs as well. And we have Miss Helen and the Shark, and the Shark does have shark teeth.
Yeah, I've seen the Shark at Duxford.
He's pretty iconic too.
Yeah.
So people can actually go in the back of these planes. So in a Mustang, you're in the same cockpit as the pilot,
mm-hmm.
and our Spitfires, it's a separate little cockpit, and you take off from Duxford Airfield and you go for a flight round the Cambridgeshire countryside, and you can see things. We do have people in the area who actually have flown over their house. The pilot has taken them past their house.
What they request in there.
Yes, they did.
So with the Spitfire, do you sit in front of the pilot and the pilot sits behind you? Because I always find that quite disconcerting.
No, you're
behind
the pilot. The pilot is well and truly in the front. It is dual control in a Spitfire, but you don't have to touch the controls. Sometimes the pilots, if they think it's okay and it's nice and safe, they will let people have
a go,
but it is always at pilot's
discretion. So the pilot decides whether the controls in the other bit can work, because otherwise...
Oh, they do work.
Oh, they do.
You just don't touch them until you're told it's okay to.
What if you get someone that sort of thinks, oh, hang on, I'll just take over, and the pilot's like, hang on a minute.
Everyone's briefed fully. We do a full safety briefing. We go through every little bit of the aircraft with them. They get briefed again at the aircraft by my colleague Lisa, who helps get everyone in and out and chats to people, make sure they're happy, and the pilot chats to them as well, make sure they know what they can and can't touch and how to be safe.
Is it always the same pilot that flies a plane? So obviously
no, we have lots of different pilots. I think we have about 12 different pilots that help us out. Some of them are still flying commercially. They fly for various airlines. Some are semi-retired or retired from the RAF, ex-military. So we have quite a whole little pool of pilots, and we call them up and schedule them in around their rosters and their lives, and they come out and take people up. They absolutely love it.
I bet they do. So with the Mustang, are you next to the pilot or again behind?
So we kind of describe it as being almost on the shoulders of the pilot. So you're in the same cockpit as of them. You're kind of slotted in behind them. I guess I've not actually been in a Mustang, only in a Spitfire, but that's how they describe it. But it's a bit different to a Spitfire. They describe it as the Cadillac of the sky, and the Spitfire is a nice little, well, speed demon, I think. But I think people who like Mustangs would say actually a Mustang is faster, so it depends. But yeah, you're kind of on the shoulders of them, looking out.
Wow, with the goggles on, I mean, can you...
You don't have to wear goggles. Some people do take their sunglasses up. It can get quite bright up there.
Mm.
But we do have proper helmets, and you wear a flight suit, and you've got your flight gloves on as well. So you do feel the part. I went in one in October, and putting that flight suit on and popping the helmet on, I've never felt more cool in my life. I probably looked hilarious, but I felt epic.
Absolutely. It's like Top Gun. It's like all those fantasies, isn't it? Or, you know, yeah. Ooh. I mean, the Spitfire is such an iconic plane.
Mm.
Obviously from the Second World War.
Yes,
they,
from
they
World
date,
War Two. Yes.
Yeah,
so actually Duxford,
how old are they now?
I can't do maths.
But is that 100, what is that, 80?
But we're at the centenary of World War One.
Second World War.
Yeah. Second World
so
War.
So 45, 40s, say 40.
Yeah,
50s.
Finished in the 40s. Yeah, so 30, so 70, 90, nearly 90 years maybe.
Oh my goodness.
So they're really iconic, and actually... we have the privilege of flying from Duxford Airfield, which is particularly iconic within World War II. The Luftwaffe were sort of repelled. People flew up and repelled the Luftwaffe from the airbase. It's the home of Douglas Bader as well. So he flew a Supermarine Spitfire for the first time from Duxford Airfield. And he was a particularly famous RAF pilot. He actually lost his leg, sadly, during a flying accident, and went on within 6 months to be walking on artificial legs. And then in 1940, he was up in the Spitfire fighting for his country. So it is an incredibly rich in history place to be. And you're flying through Battle of Britain airspace from Duxford as well. So it is just really poignant, actually. It's quite a humbling experience to go up there and think you were in the back of a plane that was fundamental in keeping our country safe. And there are people that flew these planes that unfortunately didn't survive the war because they were fighting to keep us safe. And when you're looking out over those wings, and they are beautiful elliptical wings on a Spitfire, and you're looking down at the countryside below you and you're thinking, how amazing to actually get to take a flight through history in this way. It really is an incredible experience.
So there can't be many of these planes left in actual use, surely?
No, there's not a huge amount of them. I think it is on the website. If you want exact numbers, go look at Aerial Collector's website because I have written it down. But it's probably, I think, I want to say 38, but I may be remembering that wrong.
So but how lucky that we've got Duxford on our doorstep and the opportunity to fly, like you say, to fly in them here.
Yeah,
so close to
home. Exactly. And the great thing is that once you've flown in a Spitfire with Aerial Collective, you can go and have a look around the museum as well. So it's the person that flies and another person get free entry. Anyone else gets half price entry, and you can just take in the amazing exhibitions they have, go around their hangars. They have the Concorde there, and there are some really amazing exhibits there. The American hangar is my particular favourite because it has all the different American planes in there to look at.
So Aerial Collective, you were saying off air, in itself has not been in existence for that long, but the opportunity to experience these planes has been. But you were created to spread the word more about this opportunity and this experience, and you've been, I guess it's quite a fun thing to be able to market this opportunity, isn't it?
It's amazing. I don't think there are many places where you can sit at your desk and think, oh, I'll just go make a cup of tea. And as you walk out the hangar, a Mustang flies past or a Spitfire is practicing some aerobatics. And it is fun because you get to watch people's joy as they come down out of these planes and they just grin. One of our pilots, Cliff Spink, calls it the Spitfire grin because they literally don't stop smiling like the entire day. I don't think I stopped smiling for about a week. And it is amazing because there is nothing else really like it. There are sort of no words to describe how amazing it is. It would be fun. It'd be quite a great thing to do. Fantastic opportunity. And I really liked Spitfires before I flew in one. Once I'd flown in one, I fell in love. And now having the opportunity to tell people about these amazing aircraft and to give them the chance to really enjoy them and keep these pieces of history alive, I think is just wonderful.
Yeah.
So how long are you up there for? How long does your flight last?
It depends on what you decide to do. So we tend to see most people go for the 30-minute experience, and that's chock to chock. So that's from when you get into the aircraft and you taxi along and you take up. That's about 20 minutes in the air. You can also have a 50-minute experience, which is about 40 minutes in the air. And we also have the opportunity for people, if they wanted to fly with a friend, we do have two. So you could both go up in Spitfires as well. But generally speaking, it's around the 20-minute, 40-minute mark. But we do say to people, if you were looking for something a bit different or you're wondering if you could try something, give us a call. And if we can accommodate your request, we will.
Have you had any interesting requests from anybody?
Not yet at this moment,
okay.
No. I think some people are quite interested in the opportunity of perhaps being in a Spitfire and having a Bouchon fly alongside them. So a Bouchon, other people sometimes call it a Messerschmitt. So having the Spitfire and them together is quite cool. In the Battle of Britain Air Show, they did a formation flight with them doing a dogfight, and that was quite exciting. So people are quite excited to see other aircraft up in the air. And we've had quite a lot of interest in our potential flights in Bristol Blenheim and in our Westland Lysander as well, both of which are restored or have been restored on site where we work from the aircraft restoration company hangars.
I'd want to fly over my house. I think it'd be quite interesting to see an aerial view of your home.
Tell everyone on the street, I'm coming over in a Spitfire.
Yeah.
Get out, look up.
Can you see people like, because I often wave when they fly over. Do you think they would be able to see me waving or something?
I don't think they'd be able to see you waving, but they would hear you coming. The roar of a Spitfire engine is unmistakable. I actually can tell now when I'm out on the airfield if one's coming in to land.
Oh,
it's a really, really wonderful sound.
Oh, wow.
So tell us a bit more about you, Hannah. You've been doing this for, 6 months or so?
Yes, about that.
Were you interested in planes at all before you started this job?
Well, I have a dad who is a World War II history fanatic.
Oh, okay.
I was brought up walking around air museums. Duxford as well was a particular favourite. And it was great because my two sisters weren't that bothered. So it was solo time with dad, which meant I got ice cream and I always got a pencil and maybe a rubber if I was really good.
Yeah.
So it was like, yes, solo dad time. So I was brought up going around these places, and he is really more of a tank man. He can tell a tank by its silhouette. He can give you exactly what it was, make, model. So I always loved the stories behind these machines. I liked learning about who was part of that, like what were they doing in the war. So when I got the opportunity to go for an interview at Duxford, I was absolutely excited, and walking through to go to do my interview, walking through the hangar where you've got, there's a Spitfire over there, and oh look, there's the only airworthy Bristol Blenheim in the world, and I'm like, I want to work here. I can't express to you how exciting that prospect was, and to actually now be there and promoting these aircraft in this way is fantastic. Mm.
It is a brilliant place, actually. Have you been to Duxford, Tim?
I have, yeah. I haven't been for quite a while, but it was somewhere that we used to go to on a school trip. I think it's kind of, if you go to school anywhere in this region, it's somewhere that you would go to.
But what I love is the fact that there are planes taking off all the time.
Yeah, it's still a very busy airfield.
Yes. Yeah. Not just our vintage warbirds, they are quite, well, you always know one of those is taking off because a crowd appear down along the fence. But we have lots of general aircraft that take off and land there as well.
Cool. So if anybody's interested, I mean, it's a good time of the year to be thinking about this sort of thing. If anybody's out there and wants to, as a special birthday or anniversary or some sort of an occasion
Christmas.
Coming up, and they want to to gift their loved one an opportunity to have an experience in these planes, how do they get in touch with you, and what's the process they go through?
Well, they can actually very easily book everything online. So our website launched last week. Go take a look at that. You'll get a sense of the planes and what it is that we do. That's www.aerialcollective.co.uk. Or you can give us a call. And we're also on Facebook, so you can messenger us. I am always on Facebook checking that I'm not missing anyone. So we do respond to everything within our working hours, which is 9 to 5.30 every day, apart from the weekends. I don't work weekends.
Okay. Brilliant.
Well, what a fantastic gift to give to someone, can you imagine?
Yeah, definitely. Have you
not
done
me,
anything like this?
Not me, because I don't like
heights. Did you go do anything on Blue Peter?
Yeah, I have a bit of a fear of flying. But I had to go up in a jet. I don't know what the jet was, what it was. And I was with, obviously, a pilot who knew what he was doing. But what they did was turn us upside down. So I don't know if you can do aerobatics, can you?
You can, yes. So the pilot always checks first. Yeah, it has to be the right conditions. He doesn't just say, oh, yeah, we'll just do it. They always say, it's your flight. We want to make sure that when they come out of the Spitfire at the end that they've had a really good time. We don't want anyone to feel unwell or anything like that. But you do have the opportunity to do victory roll and maybe a loop-the-loop as well across the airfield, which is really fun, actually, to go upside down and be inverted in that way. Most people I've seen do it have absolutely loved it. I don't think there's been anyone that's come down after doing aerobatics and gone, no, I really wish I hadn't done that. And for most, it is once-in-a-lifetime thing. They want to make the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I did an inverted spin in a jet, which is where they turn it upside down. And they cut the engine, so you plummet to Earth. And then the idea is that the pilot obviously then can regain control of the aircraft, which they do, luckily, in seconds. But that G-force and that kind of feeling of being upside down in a jet is terrifying. Yeah.
Even the loop-the-loop's only about 3 Gs. It's not a huge amount of G-force.
I can imagine, actually, in a classic plane and something like a Spitfire, it's a very genteel, you know, it's very different. And like you say, on a beautiful sunny day, it's probably nothing nicer.
Well, you were doing it for television purposes, so they were making it more dramatic than it needed to be just to make good telly. So there we go.
Lovely.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming in, Hannah.
Thanks for having me.
It's been good to meet you. And we'll keep an eye on things and keep us posted on any other opportunities you have coming up and any other planes or experiences and stuff like that.